it was intense and weird.
OT Mabuse, yeah. That choreography app. Like,
oh yeah,
she seems really cool, but it was,
yeah, it was, but it was so much. It, yeah, was so,
it was
much.
It was strange, it was bizarre, it was insane. Like,
yeah,
I could have used half the choreography and more acting. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah,
definitely.
Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, crrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I never watched it before, until now.
And together, we are Whispering Hunties. We're a podcast about global queer culture and drag race.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick.
Mijan.
Oh my God. I don't know how we got to the end of this podcast because honestly, that was the hardest thing that I've ever done my whole entire life.
Yeah. Zoom don't make it easy.
Zoom, you did me wrong. But you know what? It's fine. We persevere and hopefully this podcast will come together.
Yeah.
That being said, I just want to say that, you know what? I've been having a lot of love problems recently. I got ghosted. Multiple times. And I just want to say that keep believing people, because when you don't believe, every now and then you meet a cutie. Or maybe two in one night, who knows? But that being said, just don't doubt yourself. Like, don't, if you gain a couple pounds, like, don't feel bad about it. It's just more curves and more beauty to add to your body, and you are beautiful whatever size.
Yeah, hey, there's an audience for everything.
I know, and I believe it. Okay, but we do have, oh my God, like one of the biggest drag queens like in Holland on our podcast today. And I'm gooped, I'm gagged, I'm in my emotions, and it is Hoax LeBeau. Hoax LeBeau started hosting during Gay Pride of 2011. Can you believe it? She's only been doing it 10 years and she's like a freaking superstar. At the door of Super Club Amsterdam for the party, rumor has it. Since then, she's become one of the most frequently asked hosts in Amsterdam. She hosts, she performs, she DJs, she'll do anything for money. She's a classically trained actor. Hoax has performed with all the drags, and also was in The Diva in May with our friend of the pod, Lady Galore. As a performer, Hoax has performed at Wasteland, Pink Instaball, Oddball, La La Land Festival, BNN's Sophie, Taboo Bar, Amstel 54, amongst others. Hoax has also performed with the Trip on Angels on several occasions and is part of the DJ duo CUN2NT.
What's that spell?
I know, yeah. Hoax is beyond fabulous. I mean, we're going to hear more about her on the pod. Honestly, like, I have to say, like, Dutch drag queens are some of the best drag queens. Like, they're just so fun, so welcoming, so amazing, and it's just an honor to have them on the pod, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, agreed. Hard agree. I feel like we've created a lot of good ties to that beautiful country.
I know. And hopefully, I mean, I know that DragCon LA is happening, and you know, maybe we'll be there. We'll see.
Oh my God, we'll see, listeners. If you all send us $100, everyone who's listening to this,
oh my God. we need a whispering hunt. My Venmo is Major Zoo, MAJORZU. If you're listening, send us Venmo so we can go to DragCon.
Yes, mine is NEPROBST. Maybe we can send you some photos in exchange. I don't know.
Should we do a GoFundMe?
I mean, that'd be pretty fun. We'll see.
Okay. We'll talk about it. But also listen to the podcast. So, without any further ado, grab a snack. Sit back. This is your AMSR moment for the day. And lean into that whispering hunting.
Hey kids, it's the Honey Leave It Show. We just want to say thank you. We just passed the 3,000 download mark, which is a big deal for a new podcast. And so we're just really, really grateful. If you've never heard of The Honey Leavitt Show, it's a comedy podcast about sex. So if you like laughing and you like sex, you should come and listen to the show. If you don't like to laugh and you don't like to have sex, please don't bother. You won't enjoy it at all. The Honey Leavitt Show has new episodes every Friday on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and Apple, of course. Looking forward to seeing y'all there. Bye.
Nick, I am just loving my 5 = 10 athletic trunks with the dragon print.
Facts. I've got my bikini briefs in the neon snake print, and they look and feel amazing.
If you haven't heard, 5 = 10 was started with the sole purpose of creating better underwear for all men.
Which, by the way, they've totally done.
And now they've expanded into athleisure for women, so there's a little something for everyone in the most stimulating patterns.
And they make a difference. For every purchase you make at 5 = 10, a 10% donation is made to charities that they partner with.
Work! Combining premium products with philanthropy? That is amazing. And it's how 5 = 10 was created. So if you support this brand, you're supporting LGBTQIA+ charities.
And if that's not enough, we've got our listeners a special discount code, and it's HUNTYS50.
That's HUNTYS50. You can use that for 50% off new arrival merchandise at 5 = 10.com.
Wait, 50% off new merch?
Facts, not bibs, boo. Though, anything at 5 = 10 is definitely worth full price. But with Hunties 50, this fabulous high-end underwear and athleisure is all yours at just half the cost.
And as a bonus, they look even better on the floor.
So get yourself some 5 = 10 and get out there and make a friend. Hunties 50, just for you. Mwah. Oh my God, Nick, between now and August 31st, you can get 60% off the entire men's collection.
So go splurge.
Yes! Mwah. Oh my God, is that Hoax LeBeau? Hi.
For real? Not for fake?
Yes, it's me. Hi. Oh, wow. Oh, it's so cool to be here.
Oh my God, it's such a privilege and a pleasure. I want to say that I'm beside myself, but like, I don't know what's beyond that. So thank you for being here.
Well, you're very welcome.
Okay, so we were just talking about this, but who is the other LeBeau?
Oh, Remy?
The other LeBeau. Oh, you mean Remy, my imaginary husband.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Charlie.
Exactly. The Cajun stud.
Yeah, the Cajun X-Men. He's a member of the X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah. Fictional Marvel Comics comic book character. Yes.
He has the power to turn the potential energy in any object into kinetic explosive energy.
Oh, yeah. is he related to Gambit?
That is Gambit. He is Gambit.
It's Gambit's real name.
Yeah, he like has the playing cards. That's why he's called Gambit. God. And he charges them up, sends them off like little bombs.
Oh my God. I had such a crush on Gambit the whole time.
Same.
Like, oh my God.
Same. I think his secondary power is to flood my basin instantly. So that's where I got my name.
Oh my God. We need to all get like some flooding basement going on. But that being said.
We love a little nerdy flavor always.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so welcome. How is everything in Holland? Happy belated Rotterdam Pride.
Yeah. Thank you. I haven't been there. Well, oh, no, I have actually. Well, that's horrible.
You've never been to Rotterdam?
So yes, I have. It? I was, sorry.
Oh, you didn't go.
Yeah, well, I did, actually. I did go. I went to one event. No, I'm good. Well, things in the Netherlands are pretty okay, I guess.
I mean, they're opening back up a little bit, right?
It's autumn now, all of a sudden.
I know.
It's constantly raining. It's cold.
The tulips are dead.
Yeah, everything is dead and gray and horrible and cold. But besides that, it's lovely.
I don't know why the tulips are dead is like the funniest thing, but like everyone knows that like the quintessential thing of the Netherlands are like tulips and like clogs. So like,
yeah, well, actually, this is real. My boyfriend just bought a bunch of tulip bulbs because this is the time to put them into the ground so that they'll come up next spring. So he bought like, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 bags of tulip bulbs, which were, I mean, he is going to put into the ground because that's his hobby, not mine. I just looking at it.
Oh my God. So you don't know this, but like Nick is a horticulture enthusiast. Plant with Nick is a growing Instagram or Grow with Nick, then he refuses to promote the podcast, so we're having a fight about that. But
it should.
He has 3,000 followers on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. I'm at a very sensitive time in the brand building, so I don't want to confuse the brand right now.
Lies. You are my co-podcaster, and until you acknowledge that, like, I'm really, really confused.
Yeah. Tell that to my Wernickei. My Dracaena Wernickei.
I know. It's like he acts as if his fans are not gay.
They're gay, the house down boobs.
He acts as if they don't want to hear him speak, which is not true. All they do is like drool over him in underwear and plants. So I'm sorry. Yeah,
pretty much. It is a very good, successful business. Yeah. Well, not business model, but.
No, I'm just teasing. I'm like very upset about it. But that being said, we need to get back to you.
I understand.
What we need to really talk about is the amazingness that is the drag agency.
Yes.
And also your career in Holland. So, I mean, you're a DJ, you're a drag queen. Tell us more about you for everyone that's like stupid and doesn't know. Sorry, not stupid, but like ignorant.
No, well, I would love to. I mean, me is my favorite subject after all. My name is Hoaxflipbill. I've been doing drag for 11 years now, I think.
And like good drag. Like I was uncloggable. I was like, that is like, you know,
a woman.
Geesh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I like feeling my fantasy.
You are the fantasy. Like in drag, I'm like, oh my God.
I've been doing drag for over 11 years now. I was with two other queens. One of them you probably know. She's called Envy Peru. She was the winner of season one of Drag Race Holland.
That sounds familiar.
Peru. Yeah, this tiny Peruvian amazingness. She and Lady Galore and I were the first drag queens to host our very own television show here in the Netherlands called The Diva and Me.
Yeah, The Diva and Me. Yeah. Oh my God. So cool.
Get out of here.
It was Drag SOS, but in Holland.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Because it was based on a Brazilian show. The format was Brazilian, and they got it over here to the Netherlands. There's also been a German version made, I believe, last year.
And then we are here is the American version.
Yeah, sort of.
With Shangela,
Yeah. But they go on the road and travel to locations. We just recorded everything in the studio and we had our guests or contestants
future queens
come to the studio, and we did go on location with them to do workshops or things, whatever, trainings. But ours was very much a studio setting. So that was fun. That was cool.
Yeah.
I am also the founder of the Drag Agency, which is the first booking and management agency for drag talent here in the Benelux area, which is also super exciting. We've got an amazing roster of queens.
We really do. Everyone is super talented.
Yeah. Well, I always like to say I like to work with fun people and cool people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People I like, because I would love to work for you and work my ass off, but I do have to like you to do that. So I started out basically just with my friends, which are Janie Chuké, Mama Queen, Abby, oh my God. We recently added Vivaldi.
He's
amazing. Okay. Also from season two of Drag Race Holland, we have the amazing Love Masisi.
Yeah.
I love her so much.
And of course myself.
Because your talent. Yeah.
We know. Yeah. And my DJ sister has a Jinx and Nancy Goring, and I'm probably forgetting people. Mama Queen, did they say Mama Queen? I don't know. We have an amazing roster of talent.
I mean, come on. She owned the show, basically.
Oh, we love Mama Queen.
Yeah.
She is so impeccable. Such a beautiful person, beautiful queen, beautiful soul, beautiful everything.
She could have won, honestly.
Oh, I mean, could have.
If Envy wasn't there.
If Envy wasn't there, well, anyone could have won if Envy wasn't there. Because I mean, how does anyone compete with Envy?
She was a bit of a shoo-in.
I know. It's like all of Holland was just like, Envy Peru can't not win Drag Race.
Last to walk into the workroom and everybody said...
Yeah, well, that was actually because she lied to everyone.
Exactly, that's what we've heard.
And I know her very, very well. We spoke on the phone almost every day before she went in, and she did tell me she was doing the makeup for Fred. And
I was like, but it was the Countess.
I didn't get cast. Right? Yeah, the Countess did eventually, but I didn't get cast. And I had her on the phone. Like, was like, no, I would love to be in a season with you, but. Actually, I would not love to be in a season with her because I actually want to win.
I know, right? You need your own space. Like it's all right. Yeah. When you're like a heavy hitter, it's like, no, we can't do this together. We can do it separately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
no, but Envy is amazing. And we live right around the corner from each other as well.
Oh my god. So
we got to the same supermarket and stuff
like that. Around the corner. Sorry.
Well, it's Amsterdam.
Around the corner from Boris.
Yeah, well, it's Amsterdam. Everyone lives around everyone's corner because our city is tiny.
I know, but you know,
well, that's
like,
kind of nice.
You know, Envy is so like vagine that I'm like, I think it's so funny that her name is Boris.
Yeah, Boris. Boris. Boris.
Boris.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
So how did you get into drag? Like, tell us that story.
Oh, well, I actually, the first time I got in drag was for a theme party. A drag ball, so everyone had to do it. So I did too. I went to probably H&M or something like that. Got a dress.
We all did. Yeah. H&M, Forever 21. It doesn't matter what
stuff
the
like
situation
that.
Is. Yeah.
Got some heels from I don't know some secondhand store probably.
Yeah.
A tiny amount of makeup. It was
clearly
probably some eyeshadow
feet.
And lipstick. I don't know. I didn't know what foundation or concealer was. Back
sounds
day.
Like very season one Drag Race US.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Walking in
very
in
much.
Denim jeans. Yeah.
Yeah, that
type of thing. And off the rack.
Somehow, well, I do have a picture I could show you later.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh my God,
or
please.
Now. Well, it's a podcast, but I'll put it in.
We forgot to mention Abby, oh my God, who we are very stans
of. Yes. Abby is my baby. It's my child. Yeah. I love her.
And,
so
and Reggie B. Or Reggie
well,
B.
I'm not her drag mom. She's just my baby.
Yeah, no, but sure. we all love us some Abby, oh my God. So like, let's we need to pay homage to the queen. But that being said, okay, so you went to this party.
Oh yeah, first time in drag, went to a party, had fun, probably got faced. I don't know.
I know, we always get
back in the day, who didn't?
Hey, we support that here.
Yeah, and then someone saw me there who organized their own parties. Her name is Maxime Duval, and she had two parties called Disco Total and Italo Elite. And she's like,
oh, God,
I
amazing.
Like you. Do you want to work for me? It's like, well, as what? Well, as
you
a
got
door
a job your first time in
Yeah,
drag?
First night out. I got this a job instantly. So I was like, okay, sure, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah. Fast so forward listeners, to now. Just so you know, like Hoax LeBeau. Yep. In drag.
You can call me Ho. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you're a Ho because like, honestly, Hoax LeBeau is unclockable. Like just gorgeous. Like it's just, it's like real talent. Like, you know what I mean? So like, I'm not surprised that they were like, oh my gosh, Geesh, what's up?
Well, even with that train wreck of a look that night,
they
somehow
saw the potential.
She saw the potential. Yeah, she did. So I started doing that and one thing led to another, got to host more parties. So I started out as a door host mainly. Then I started performing, DJing, and one thing came from another.
And I love that you've diversified because I always love when like drag queens can do more than like just the thing. You know, it's like you can perform, but like you can also throw a party. You can also be a planner, which is why I think the drag agency is like so smart. Like you have to like think on like other people's level. So like Latrice Royale is a manager of other drag queens besides herself.
Yeah.
Because she's smart. She's like, no, I figured out the playbook. Come work with me. You know what I mean? Like, and like Alaska and Willem as well are like, oh, girls, like, come over here. Let's do this cool thing. And I'm like, any drag queen that is smart enough to be like, oh, I'm going to start my own agency and like help the girls get paid. Like, oh my God.
Well, it's not just, you're not just an artist. Well, let's just talk for myself. I'm not just an artist. I'm also an entrepreneur. And
exactly.
I think in this day and age, you have to be, if not for just for yourself, you also have to do it for other people. And I've been doing my own bookings, my own management for years until I started the drag agency. And I thought, well, why? I have all this experience and expertise, and I already had all the bumps in the road. So let me take care of that for you so you don't have to.
Yeah.
So I can let the girls focus on their job, what they want to do, their talent, their art, and I can take care of the boring.
And it's not just me.
I have an amazing team of people mm-hmm. who are the drag agency. It's not me.
No, I mean, like, you have great people. They're awesome. It was such a joy to communicate with, very responsive.
Yeah, they are.
But the thing is, like, you have to understand that, like, you know, drag is almost on, like, on another level right now, especially when you can get to the point where, like, you're actually, like, booking gigs and blah, blah, blah. And we have to respond to it and take advantage of it so that these artists can actually, like, do their art.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to do, at least. And I think it's working. We're doing pretty good so far. I mean there's still ways to go, obviously, but no,
you scooped up the, like, season two girls, like, with the quickness. You're like, okay, you can join the club.
yeah. Cause, well, they're hot now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're amazing talents anyway, at any point in time, but they have their momentum going now. So you want to take advantage of that.
But if they can capitalize it while it's hot and make those relationships, it lasts for a long time. Like, it doesn't matter if you were on Drag Race in season two or season, you know, 12 or 14. If you make the connections with those clubs, those places, and you do a good job when you're there, they'll book you again.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's especially about, well, I always tell all of my girls, don't be an That's basically
yes.
it.
Yes.
Do not be an Let me be that. Yep. I'll do the horrible the financial the contracts, all that stuff. So you don't have to. So you can
just
be the nice
be
person.
On time.
Show up, be on time, be kind, be nice, be respectful.
That's what people remember.
I'll do the hard stuff. So you don't have to.
Exactly.
Love that.
Which is super funny because we have to talk about some meanness on this episode, which is kind of crazy. But honestly, I just need to say, I'm so glad that Holland is opening back up. I've seen photos from Drikkenix. And
finally,
like, it makes me feel so happy because for this endeavor, we've done two rounds of Holland on our podcast and we've fallen in love with, you know, Amsterdam and, like, the crew that's there. And, like, for me to know that, like, you know, all my girls are, like, out and about, like, you know, dancing with their people, it just makes me feel so released. And it warms my heart. But if we were to come to Holland, what place would you recommend to us?
Well, obviously my home base, my home club is Club Nix. Queer party on Saturday night is Drikkenix. I do my own club night. Well, I used to have my own club night there because they're just opening up. They don't have separate nights.
I know, it's rough.
Yeah, I've got Nix
is its own club, but Drikkenix too.
Yeah, it's the Saturday night.
For the listeners that know, Drikkenix is, like, a very specific night at Nix, which is like
Saturday nights at Club Nix. The other nights are fun too, but less queer. And I used to host my own club night there, Drafa Mafia. Yeah, which is my own club night, my own party.
So Drafa, I know Drafa, Mafia.
Yeah.
But what is Drafa?
Drafa is like a slang word for drag.
Oh,
Drafa is
thinking,
like a cross-dresser.
Ooh.
Ish, but like a slang throwaway
mafia?
Word.
That's a hot thing for
it's
for
a Drafa. It's like a derogatory term for drag. Cross-dresser or something like that. Tuffa.
Gotcha.
And I just owned up to it and made it the mafia version. So it's the Tuffa Mafia.
Please.
It's the cross-dresser mob, sort of.
I love that.
And we play very hard, intense tech house. So
please. Oh my god.
Yeah. I just want people to rave all night.
So I grew up on techno because I grew up in Zimbabwe, and so I grew up on, like, European MTV. And so we were just all about techno, all about just, like, going to a rave and just, like, bouncing our heads off.
Yeah.
And there's this thing that happened on Holland Drag Race was, like, there was, like, a super techno culture, but, like, we were
that was
we didn't
the
understand
cover.
What that was.
Yeah, that was, well, it's not necessarily techno. That's Hubber House, which was a very specific, very Dutch, very hot thing in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It still exists, but it evolved into hardcore music.
Yeah. It looked like British rock, but like the techno version.
Yeah, a little bit. It's very high BPM, very intense, very quick. And I think it's a lot of fun.
But something to meditate
to. It also had a very
yeah.
specific subculture with a very specific way of dressing. Mm-hmm, everyone wore Australian tracksuits, and all the guys had bald hair, and the girls all had undercuts.
Show, like Kim and whatever.
Kath and Kim?
Yeah, Kath and Kim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Australian like 80s tracksuits.
Yeah, the Cafello sweaters, like the knitted. Yeah, very specific style. Which goes with that, but it's very Dutch. It's hardly known outside of Netherlands, I think. What that was. It was
That episode made me realize, like, oh, this is very specific and beloved.
Yeah, I could see Vanessa's look in her eyes, like, what the fuck is this? I don't know what's going on. Even Love Masisi had no idea.
Yeah.
Because they weren't around in Holland when that was the thing.
I know. Poor Love Masisi was very confused for most of her time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we need to talk about Drag Race Holland because we have our first trans winner in Holland. But also our third trans winner of all the drag races. And it's phenomenal. I mean, we here on the pod are Vanessa Van Cartier stans. Like,
she's amazing.
Big time. It's been very, very seldom will we ever critique her for anything other than she's not a good actress, but
perhaps being too perfect. That's a critique.
But like, I mean, so when she got on the show, we were like, oh my God. We see the envy glow and we know where it came from. Like, I was
her mom.
Like, if envy learned anything about makeup, it was from Vanessa
envy already was a very extremely talented and good and working makeup artist before she met Vanessa, even.
Oh, wow.
I stand that, but like, I have to say, like,
definitely got some pointers.
The family resemblance is clockable. Like, it's just like, we are gorgeous people and we don't take no shit from nobody. And that is like the vibe of that fam.
Yeah.
And so like when she hopped on the show, we were just like, oh my God, who's this talented queen? Like, oh my God. And
you mean the reigning Miss Continental?
Well, she's not reigning anymore. No longer. Right? She gave up the crown.
Yeah.
She gave up the crown. It's done.
Yeah, well, she's had it for 2 years now. She's good.
I know, but here's the funniest thing. So Vanessa Van Cartier had to give up her continental crown to get the Drag Race crown. Like, talk about a glow up. Do you know what I mean? She's had the best 3 years of her life.
she literally has. And she's
to be
such
an international winner of Miss Continental and then to win Drag Race.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
She's
such an amazing queen, such an amazing person. So kind and sweet and
And just her narrative on the show was so good. I can't tell you. Well, I can tell you how many times I cried, probably three or four, just from Vanessa.
I'm dead on the inside, so I didn't cry, but.
Yeah. There are a few episodes I didn't. Yeah.
No. I'm like, so I actually have this like weird thing where like, you know, from like the super masculine side of my family, like I try not to cry, which is like a whole thing, but Vanessa like moved me. I mean, like, here's the thing, she's a bad actress, but when she's real, she's real. Like,
oh, she is.
I mean, we said this last week, she killed the interview portion. Like, it was like it was like no one could compare to her, because My Little Pony was is a lovely drag queen, but like the whole story was about Kida Minaj, so like Kida, and so I was like Pony, like, you need to like forget your ex-boyfriend, who's not your boyfriend because you have a fiance, and stop talking about them.
Yeah.
And just
focus on your own drag.
Kata. Yeah. Focus on your own drag. And then, you know, Vivaldi had the phone. So, not going to do that. But then, you know, Vanessa, oh my God, which is just like, every time that she talked about her experience, we were just like, we need to lift up this queen.
Yeah.
Not because she needs it, but because she's talent. And we're so upset that the world has done this. Like,
yeah,
I was upset every time.
Yeah.
Totally. Besides her boyfriend, because that was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Stevie forever.
Yeah. He's so sweet as well.
So sweet. Yeah. It was great to see her win. And yeah, it was just so important that even if she hadn't won, which she absolutely deserves to, I'm just so glad she was around the whole time so that we could continue to get those stories and like those experiences out there that a lot of people deal with and don't get that platform. So, yeah.
Definitely. Because representation matters, people.
Oh, yeah.
It's so important to keep telling stories of queer people, trans people, people of color, trans people of color, queer people of color, whatever. Mm-hmm. But representation matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so important that Drag Race Holland finally picked up on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. In
they really did
in some steps. Yeah.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah, I mean, all drag races kick off all the people of color first. So it's like, it's kind of tragic. But
I'm sad that Holland and now UK, Holland 2 and UK season 3 both have one black.
Yeah.
One each. That's come on, guys.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Black people are everywhere. We really are everywhere, and we're talent. So I think there's more talent that they could put on the show, but maybe they're saving it for next season. I don't know.
Part of it speaks to a bit of like the undercurrent of the toxicity and the racism in the gay community, being less likely to support queens of color or black queens.
Oh, wait. Feeling invisible as a black person? That's never happened to me, ever.
Right, exactly, right. Yeah. And so it's like they then have a more of a disadvantage to like build their drag up to being on the show or like being accepted by the show, the audition tape, looking polished enough, whatever it is, because they haven't had the same support as the white twinks who are great at makeup and 19.
Yeah.
You know,
how many 19-year-olds were there on season 3 of UK now?
Right. And I'm like, can we get them all out in the first 3 episodes, please? Except I guess they're
we tried our best. What I will say is that like with Love Masisi's journey is like everyone will acknowledge that Love Masisi is a great queen. So she's a great queen in any country that she's in. I think it was like it was the same thing with like the loss in translation that happens to Spanish people in America.
Yeah.
It's just like it was too much Dutch for her to be like fully fledged. So like with something like Snatch Game, which is where she literally lost.
Yeah.
The intricacies of the humor are all in Dutch, and you have to be 100% fluent. And her Dutch was not super strong.
No, she speaks Dutch mostly. She doesn't
speak Dutch expressively, and I think that's the problem.
Exactly,
because like Envy Peru and Ivy speak Dutch expressively.
Yeah.
So I mean, even the Cardi B moment. I'm not going to talk about that.
Even Abby speaks Dutch expressively. She's been in Netherlands for under 10 years, I believe.
Abby speaks like 7 years.
Yeah.
Like that,
especially for, and Dutch is a very hard language to learn if you're not native.
Actually, I think that my pronunciation will always be terrible, but like, I actually think that like I could learn Dutch really fast. Like, I've been watching 2 seasons of Drag Race in Dutch.
Oh, yeah, now you know. Now you've got the whole lingo.
We're pretty lucky to be American, though, because the rest of because of our country, the rest of the world learns English. So, I want to learn other languages, of course, because I just want to. I think it's good. We should do that.
Well, let's do the rest of the podcast in Dutch.
Zullen we dat gewoon doen?
Ja, Nederlands de hele tijd. Geen probleem. Niemand verstaat wat ik zeg, dus dat is toch oké.
I'm just gonna nod and smile.
No, let's not do that.
No, but here's the thing. Dutch is actually a very beautiful language, and I've really enjoyed hearing it. And like, I really think that Dutch people are like a model for the world, because like they're polyglots, they're very inclusive, unless they're conservative living in the rural areas, which I've heard about.
Right.
But they're very intelligent, well-educated, and just kind people. And like, we need more of that in the world. So I'm really glad that this is like on the world showcase.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not all of them. I know you rolled your eyes.
No, because I know a lot of horrible people.
Like every country.
Well, also happen to be Dutch. But No, but that's the thing. It's like, I live in Amsterdam and I live in my Amsterdam queer bubble with my queer friends and my art friends and my theater friends. And everyone's gay or has a friend who's gay or has a child who's gay.
Which is like, that's literally my bubble. What everyone that's my needs Amsterdam to do. Bubble. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't have a queer friend, something's wrong with you.
Oh, hey, if you're listening to this podcast, hey, you at least got two queer friends.
Yay, that's three true. Now.
Three now, yeah.
Yay.
No, but you're right. When we live in our bubble, we meet better people. Like, honestly, like, so last night, not going to lie, I went to Manhattan.
I'm sorry.
It was really stressful. It was not my neighborhood. It was not my scene. Like, I was very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of straight people, and I love straight people, and they're great. But I just wanted to be in Brooklyn where there were straight people who were, like, fierce allies.
Who at least have, like, blue hair. Yeah.
No, like, but like fierce allies. Do you know what I mean? Like, I go to bars now in Brooklyn and they all have gay flags or trans flags or the Pride Progressive flags outside. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's a straight bar or a gay bar, but they like have it outside because they are fierce allies.
Get some of that money.
Yeah.
That too.
It's a commercial. It's
It helps.
It does. Honestly, it's like seeing it feels really good.
Well, it depends on where you are, if it helps. I mean, if you would put it out in Manhattan, it probably wouldn't help as much as it does in Brooklyn.
No, but so I'm gonna give you an example. So this bar called Reclamation, not a gay bar, not a queer bar, but is, I define it as a straight bar with queer tendencies. They have the trans flag outside. I think they have the Pride Progressive flag on the right side. It could also be like just the rainbow flag. The staff donated a portion of their paychecks, and then the managers matched it to GLSEN, which is a trans nonprofit. And they donated so much money that GLSEN sent them a trans flag.
Wow.
And that's a straight bar.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, in Brooklyn. That. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I feel so safe. I feel so included. You know, I feel like I can do whatever in Brooklyn. Yeah. In Manhattan, even if it's a straight bar, I'm kind of like, I don't know. Back to Holland. So how has the reaction been to Vanessa's win?
Well, I haven't really been outside yet. Because I'm a weird hermit and I'm on my holiday now. But no, what I hear around me is everyone's super excited. Who cares that she's Belgian? I mean, she still is an amazing queen.
I mean,
I'm glad it was a win well deserved. You know,
it would be like a British queen winning in America. We'd all still be happy.
Like if Courtney Act had been crowned or something.
Yeah.
Great. Fine. She's a great queen, you know?
Yeah. You're in the same consortium.
I'm glad that people are more upset about her being Belgian, possibly if that's the case, like possibly being more upset about that than being trans. Like, I'd rather that conversation than anyone having a problem with that.
Because we're so done with like not much trans being people trans, not being included. Like, that's not a thing.
Right.
No. Well, it was apparently in Belgium, but she's also been working in the Netherlands for years. And I have so many trans performers.
Yeah.
I know so many of them. And I never heard of it being a problem here, but the drag scene is very different in Belgium than it is in the Netherlands. So apparently Belgium is very almost pageanty like.
Yeah, we keep hearing about this like pageant culture in Belgium.
It was a big thing apparently, but that totally passed by me.
Right, she talked on her show about like losing all of her gigs and all of her jobs when she came out in Belgium. I think the problem
is with pageantry is that it's all about being in a category. So like, even if you're like an overweight queen, you perform in an overweight pageant, not in the skinny girls pageant.
Yeah.
You know? And so like, because we have to so heavily, or Nasha from Chicago just won Mr. Continental or something like that.
But she'd already run Miss Continental earlier. So.
I mean, she's
She's got the double win now.
she's trained. She's trained in and out of drag. But because we're so rigid in these gendered categories and size categories.
Yeah.
Like, I could understand how they were like, oh, well, in Belgium, because we only hire like pageant queens, you know, like what you are is so specific. But like, I think the beauty of drag is it's genderless. You know, yeah, like it is.
Exactly.
It's beyond gender. It
and
is.
To have such rigid categories kind of implies that pageantry, that subsect, thinks that plus size queens can't and shouldn't be considered along with smaller queens,
yeah,
or just small look queens or makeup queens. It's, and so maybe that's a positive thing, like on this crazy reality show we all love, that they do put them all together and all give them that shot.
Yeah.
What we can say about Drag Race Holland is that, I mean, it was just this wonderful, like, you know, representation of Dutch drag, and Dutch drag is talent, and we're so glad that you've joined, like, the Dutch drag has, like, gotten this, like, international stage.
Yeah,
it's just so much fun, and like,
we have so many amazing queens.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a,
not just the ones on Drag Race. Even there's so many more amazing talents out there.
It was such a great season.
Yeah. Like even and first season, we fell in love. We were still very new to podcasting about the show, but we fell in love with season one. This one was like such an improvement in so many ways,
and content-wise,
it didn't make the first season look bad at all.
No,
like bigger, better. More money for sure.
Definitely.
And it made me cannot wait for season three.
Yeah. So, well, neither can I. Let's hope that I'm on it.
Fingers crossed.
Well, no, they're saving you. You had to save the best for last.
I would like to do it before I need to facelift, though. That ship has sailed, but
I gotta stop making facial expressions. I keep doing this. Look at that.
My forehead moves again. It's horrible.
Like, let's be real here. We get better with age.
Yeah. Fine wine.
Yeah. Well, if you put a shit ton of makeup on your face for a living, you do not want any expression lines sticking in your foundation. So I try not to move my face at all when I'm in drag, but I'm an expressionate person. So it happens. And then I get wrinkles and lines in my makeup. And then it looks like I have wrinkles that I don't have. So just to eliminate all of that, I just Botox it.
This is very Jamie Decay.
I know. I just booked her a new appointment.
She's like, I put all this Botox in my face and like, it's not working.
Yeah. I hooked her up with my doctor.
I've never started that, but she's about to be 33.
Maybe one.
Oh, I started when I was 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you start early, you age less.
Yeah. See, I still
look
like
20. That's right. Cause it stops it from right. That makes sense.
I'm just kidding. Who knows? Nick, if you would be so kind, I'm so sorry, I forgot. Could you maybe give us like a little recap of what happened on the episode? Because I'm so forgetful. Do you like a little whole story report?
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, love, and welcome back. How you doing, babes? You all right? You ready to talk about Drag Race UK Series 3?
Last time, we said goodbye to dear Anubis, officially the first queen to sashay away. Crystal Versace basks in her win. Victoria Scone nurses an injured knee and an injured ego. The Brit crew sadly continues to work from home, so Rue presents the mini-challenge solo. Crystal plays Rupert Market Sweep by herself, which is odd, finding shady labels for her sisters. And she comes off very nasty, very harsh, especially due to weirdly highlighting Victoria's weight. The maxi challenge this week is Dragathon, a group dance challenge themed after Peloton-style exercise instruction. We see all the queens, and a whole lot of Victoria Green, rehearse choreo with special guest Oti Mabuse. While getting ready, the dolls have a necessary conversation about body image, which so many of us wrestle with. They further the message of self-acceptance, and we love to see it. Vanity Milan speaks on being the only Black queen of the season, and we hate to see it because the show and the community can do better support queens affected by adversity and racism. On the main stage, Rue looks timeless, and Michelle continues to age in reverse. My favorite group with the best execution was the Ball Busters. I applaud this challenge for being outside the box, but it ended about as well as an SNL sketch. On the runway, category is red carpet showstoppers. My newsworthy looks came from Crystal Versace, Charity Case, Veronica Green, and Elle of a Day. Crystal Versace wins the challenge and now has as many repeater badges as there have been episodes. Vanity Milan and Electra Fence end up in the bottom two and lip sync for their lives to move on up. The girls tear it up, but Vanity Milan is saved. Electra Fence is officially the second queen to go home. 10 queens remain. We're changing the title to The Crystal Show, and that's the whole... Wait a minute.
RuPaul calls Victoria forward, and wait, what? No! Victoria Scone's knee injury requires further examination, and her future on the show is uncertain. And that's the whole story.
Yeah, wow. What a recap. What a recap.
Thank
and
you.
Yes, God. That cliffhanger.
Oh, my God. I am stunned, yeah. Gabbed, and gooped. And hopefully it's just because they're trying to heighten tensions and they're going to say at the top of the episode, oh, she's fine.
Oh,
she's
yeah,
here.
It's fine. She's okay. She can stay.
Because we cannot have a Eureka where she's like kicked off and then brought back. As much as I'd love that, I gotta have to be real honest.
I think that we should let Victoria heal her knee. Because if
saying that because of this runway look? Because it was very bad?
That too.
I'm only saying that because...
I mean, it was bad.
Look, yeah. Eureka had a whole year's worth of workers' comp to heal her knee. And she came back and did like splits the house boots down and like made it to the top three. And Victoria Scone was always going to be a top contender. But if she actually has dance training and that's all we got to see, like I think she can do better.
But all I'll say with that is that their filming schedule, I just learned this from a plug for Bussy Queen on YouTube. She did some digging and she quoted the Race Chaser podcast. Okay, so we're multi-layers. We're inceptioning here. Mm-hmm. But the filming schedule for season 3 of UK was super condensed and was happening very close after season 2 of filming.
Yeah.
So Victoria Green, Veronica Green. Oh my God.
Veronica.
So Veronica Green, yeah. I'm so sorry. She didn't even have the proper time as the other queens of season 3 to prepare an entirely new wardrobe for the categories.
Are you serious?
So I really worry that Victoria Scone would not have proper time to heal and everything properly for like UK season 4 if she were brought back for that. I worry that they're not putting the queens' health and safety at the forefront of consideration,
which is why she should go home and heal her knee. Even if she's on like season 5, like it would be better if she's a real dancer. Like we didn't even get to see her move, you know, she just like landed on her knee.
I know, and other queens have done that without the the narrative of the doctor visit and things. So
yeah,
I mean,
so I don't know.
Yeah, I hope it's just a cliffhanger. It's a production thing. I hope so. Then that her knee is fine. It hurt for a day and then she was good. I hope that's the case.
What's so ironic about this is that we on the podcast were like, oh my God, like what is with this knee drop? Like it's not safe. It's not good for you. It looks painful. And then this was the first time where it was like, oh, she did it. And it was like, bad, you know?
Yeah.
And for a trained dancer to make that choice is makes me sad a little bit because she knows how to not risk injury. And I know that lip syncs are very, very stressful when you're doing it for your whole life or to win either way.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's stressful and you kind of make a off-the-cuff decision, but oof.
Yeah, in the heat of the moment, of course, accidents can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks. I mean, I've been there. But I really hope it's not as bad as they make it look on the show right now.
I think she tore her ACL.
The drama that they paid to it made it seem like it was the show.
But that could also just be a production trick. You never know. I mean, it's reality TV. Tricks get pulled. And I had a thing though, because you said Charity's was one of your favorite looks.
Oh yeah, the goldfish. Yeah.
Yeah, the koi thing. Yeah, I have a thing with that color. I hate it.
The orange?
It's the Netherlands national color. And it does not look good on people with my complexion or just white people in general. It washes everyone out.
So I don't understand.
I don't understand. Well, it comes from the House of Orange royal family way back.
I know, but it's so funny because the flag of Holland is like red, white, and blue, right?
Yeah, but we have like an orange attachment that's a wimple that you only get to put up for, I don't know, certain holidays or royal shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not good into royalty at all. or the rules surrounding that. But yeah, we have like our King's Day, Queen's Day, King's Day. It's King's Day.
King's Day now.
And everyone goes out dressed in orange, which doesn't look good on anyone without some melanin in your skin. And I hate it so much. And it hurts my eyes. It hurts everything. It hurts me on a very profound soul level. I just cannot deal with that color orange at all.
We're gonna do a moment. We're going to do a moment in silence for all the white people in Holland that were orange. That was a moment. Thank you.
a very brief moment of silence.
Yeah, that's all they need, though.
We really need to talk about this, like, what happened on this episode in the mini challenge, because Crystal won a challenge, which was great. Yeah. And then she came back, and she was rude. Like, that whole challenge was out of pocket, out of order. Yeah. Like, it was disgusting.
Yeah. It's weird.
For her to even say, oh, she's my biggest competition. This is an example of what happens when you have a young queen that's trying to be shady, but hasn't learned shade.
Exactly that. Yeah. And then it's just becomes rude.
It wasn't funny.
Without the fun part.
I mean, this is like pheromone 2.0. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
right.
If you don't know how to be shady, don't say anything.
Don't do it.
Because you
don't be an
You won't even understand. She's like, oh, it just came out of my face. And I was like, this, I was even saying it like in my notes. I was like, the cockiness on Crystal right now, I kind of like it, but I also hate it. Because I was like, I was really glad that she was letting loose, being confident, you know, because you want the drag queens to feel their oats on screen, because that's probably like closer to who they are.
Definitely.
That's a little hard to take episode 2 from a 19-year-old.
No, I know.
Yeah.
And then the challenge came along and I was like, boo, you need to shut the fuck up, because like, honestly, like no one wants to hear you now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, it was just mean. And like, I don't want to see that on my Drag Race.
Yeah.
No.
I think the mini challenge, instead of being completely Crystal focused, should have been like this. Maybe Crystal goes first because she won last time.
Yeah.
To find the first superlative. Whoever she gives that to then finds the next superlative.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then it's actually like a bit of a reading challenge that like could be played off a little bit differently. That's more fair and feels more like a mini challenge rather than the mini challenge starring Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Because this episode was literally all about her. And they gave her the second win again. And it should have been Veronica Green.
I mean... Sure.
Yeah.
If it's between the two of them, they put the two of them at the top narratively in the end.
Okay, one day I'm going to meet Veronica Green and tell her how much I love her, but like I'm so underwhelmed.
Well, I'm still mad about that video game look from last week.
Yes, so am I.
That was so
That was just what
she could have dressed as Lara Croft. She could have dressed as Princess Peach. She could have
done anything. Just go as a game character. Do not in a shiny ski suit.
In that wig?
In that hair? With those horrible glasses and a rhinestone controller. No, girl, no. Do not come from my
hobby. Don't do video games dirty like that.
No.
You know what's so funny? It's like, you know what? I'm so glad that I introduced you to Drag Race, because now, like, you...
Oh, yeah. Well, I got into it because of the podcast.
The sass has come out, and I feel like you've graduated, so thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank me. Thank you.
We all thank you.
I'd like to thank God. No, I'm just kidding. There's no God.
Yeah, okay, but I thought her outfit was cute on the runway. My thing was the lipstick. I don't think that brown lipstick looks good on most people, and it kind of looks like there's, like, poop on your mouth. So So I was like really surprised, because like even Michelle Visage was like, I love a bold lip. And I was like, but brown?
No, Michelle said, I love a bold lip line. I think I believe
a bold lip line. I didn't
see the lip line.
I just saw brown lipstick.
Yeah, like she's been eating some very dirty ass.
I know. Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm all about eating ass. Like,
so am I. Love
it. It's God's work. Like, honestly, like, regardless, top, bottom, anything.
Everyone should.
Yeah, everyone
should. It's
just
a good part of foreplay. It's just fair.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It is
or necessary. Breakfast.
It is necessary and needed. But my problem, 100%, is when it's on your face. And I'm like, I think only, I honestly think the only people who can wear like brown lipstick is when it's a nude. And so you also have brown skin, you know what
exactly.
I mean? Or like tannish brown skin, like, you know, like you're drifting towards, you know, blackness.
Well, so I mean, I can think of certain looks or I don't know, concepts where it would look good. I mean, it's
not with that dress. Dressed
up, I don't know.
Not with that dress. She
not with that. Not with that look. No.
With that look, I was like, oh my god, you should be wearing gold. You should be wearing red. You should be wearing anything. I mean, anything. But
use the brown lip. Put a gold glitter over it. Something like that.
And they were like, and they were like eating it up. Like it was like, oh my god, this is the best you've ever looked. And I was like, no, Veronica Green has looked better, like for sure. I think the wig was cute, but like
I like the hair. Yeah.
Yeah, I think. I wish she learned to paint her nose softer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because she has such a striking nose. And I'm like, this is not the nose to do like a, you know, a raven, like thin line down. This is the nose like softened down and like, you know, just make not the main attraction and to like
paint
your eyes.
I have the same thing. I've got a pretty big schnoz. So I like to not pull attention to it. So I hardly even contour it. Just focus on other things. Not
if you have a big nose, you just don't add contour and it softens it. And that's it. And it's it's not that big of a deal. But
I was like,
yeah, Veronica, you were good, but like Kitty Scott Claus was better.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I liked Kitty's look more.
Somehow didn't fit her boobs right because it was a little bit saggy under the boobs.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It was like this close to being stunning.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
but I like the idea so much that it.
Oh yeah,
it won me over.
But like, let's be honest.
Yeah, the hair could use some more work.
But Kitty Scott Claus deserves a win. Like, she's giving us like interview energy. She's giving us
she's
like
super fun. She was so good in this challenge.
Like, she was so fun in the challenge. She's just so good with the other girls. She called out the that she was like, "Hey, so you were." I mean, Veronica was like, "Hey, you were kind of rude to me," but like, it was actually Kitty Scott Claus who was like, "Yeah, so during that mini challenge, like, you were rude." And like, let's talk about it. And I was like, this is the energy that I need for my Drag Race contestants, that we talk about anything that happened in real time and not in a confessional or like, you know, like when the producers tell you to talk about it. Like, and I don't know if that means that like the production in England is better. And they were like, hey, Kitty, right now, address it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know,
probably.
I mean, they're definitely being produced, but like, the way that Kitty approached that conversation was like, hey, girl,
was very
talk
good.
About all the
very
drama well so that we can just like get over it. And I was like, please, can this happen on every episode of Drag Race? So we don't have like an India Ferris situation. Where, like,
exactly.
She leaves the show and starts drama and then has to come back and explain herself and like not make any sense. You know what I mean?
That. Very much that. Yeah, this was. Yeah, I really like that. It was a breath of fresh air. That was really good.
Instead of hating Crystal for the rest of the season, we get a full redemption in the same episode. And we don't need to like even dwell on the drama. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
True.
Perfect.
And so like when that happens on Drag Race, I'm like, oh, this is healing. We are reclaiming our queer people and we're not canceling each other. And for me, that was like Christmas. You know what I mean?
I think Drag Race UK does that very well. I think it's just written very well as well. But especially last year when the two queens of color both did, was it last year or the year before? I don't know.
Were they both today? Naomi? Yeah.
Taze and Naomi.
Asina?
Yeah. And it wasn't a problem. They were like, see, this is the problem that we didn't have any icons growing up, icons of our color, and not make it a problem, but discuss the point where it comes from. And I think they did that very well. And I think this is another example of something like that.
And the same thing with Davina DeCampo and Bag of Chips, where Davina was like, okay, I'll do a different character and here's my outfit. You know, like, the kindness, the politeness.
Exactly. Not everything has to be a huge problem.
Yeah. And it's not international.
Because
we're just cunty everywhere else. Okay. So obviously we do get to the runway. And the challenge, and I have to say, this challenge was a wash for me. And I think that they basically did a Drag Race Holland where they were like, oh, you're doing a group challenge, but we're going to judge you individually because we have no idea who won the challenge. It was such a mess.
It was a mess because it was a lot. It was a lot in a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what to pay attention to anymore.
It was intense and weird.
Oti Mabuse, yeah. That choreography app. Like,
oh yeah,
she seems really cool, but it was,
yeah,
it was,
but
strange.
It was so much.
It was strange. It was bizarre. It was insane. Like,
yeah,
I could have used half the choreography and more acting. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Because it was so busy and so crazy. I was like, no one won because it was just all just a wash.
Yeah. And I didn't have enough time to rehearse properly, obviously. So everyone was just rushing and doing things with balls. God, oh, where do I go? It wasn't it.
But that ball choreography, like on the ball, like all the like hip dive and movements thing, I was like, that was the hardest thing I've ever seen in my whole entire life. Like, I don't know. If I was on Drag Race, I would like, I would be falling off the ball and none of them fell off the ball. And I was like, this is crazy. Cause you probably only had a day to learn that. And like the night, you know what I mean? Maybe let them take the balls home at night.
It was just hug your ball in your hotel room.
Like literally it was crazy and I don't understand how that was at all okay, but I guess they did it and like whatever. OT, shame on you because you came on Drag Race and you know this show. Like you need to what's your boyfriend's name?
New boyfriend?
Your Drag Race boyfriend.
Let me find it here.
Yeah, he really made an impression.
I'm like totally blanking. Jesus.
Yeah.
My very serious boyfriend, Jamal Sims.
Jamal Sims.
Jamal
okay.
Sims.
Oh, yeah. Jamal. You.
Okay. Yeah.
I had to remember the phrase, my very serious boyfriend, Jamal Sims.
Okay. So, yeah. Nick's very serious boyfriend, Jamal Sims, always gives queens choreography that works with their ability.
Yeah.
And Itsy Mabuse's inability to give them choreography that it all made sense, that was all workable, was really detrimental to this whole challenge.
Yeah.
So when they said the people that were saving, they said the people who won, I was like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, Crystal was good, but that's because Crystal's whole set was the Cock Destroyers, and then the Cock Destroyers always win on Drag Race. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Kate Minaj, like, killed it. Like, you know, even the Two Spirit Queen on Canada's Drag Race, did Rebecca Moore. She was also a Cock Destroyer.
Oh, yeah. True.
I can't remember her name. Anyway, it's fine. They're over 1,000 queens, basically, at this point. So, like, look, we'll refer to you, but we may not know your name, and it's fine.
I barely know my own name. So, it's nothing personal.
No, it's fine.
It's not.
And then when they announced Crystal as the winner, I was like, okay. Like, I mean... Yeah. She's the first UK winner to win two challenges in a row.
In a row.
And when I saw the headline, because you know, I subscribe to all the gay headlines. I subscribe to all the gay Instagrams. Then like Crystal's the first one to win two pins in a row. I was like, okay, so she's gonna kill it. Like it's gonna be undeniable. She's gonna freaking fabulous.
We have another envy on our hands.
And then I was like, her runway was good, but like
it was
a runway that was like
was okay,
right up her alley, like showstopper runway. But I was like, we just had the Met Gala.
Yeah.
And I'm
that's
like,
a runway.
Mm-hmm. And none of these outfits would have been Met Gala worthy.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like, no one's train was longer than the stage. Like, no one.
I was a little bit underwhelmed, to be honest.
Oh my God. I mean, and like the nerve of Electra Fence to come out there in that hoodie was. Like,
yeah, that was
oh boy.
Ugh, what was that?
After,
yeah, that was a few that was like two sewing sessions away
she
from being
should
really
have
good.
Won. She should have worn her finale dress if it was that good.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it was so underwhelming.
Also, I mean, and I'm not saying that every queen needs to add body for their drag looks.
No.
But that look would have benefited from any kind of body wear.
Oh, cinch the waist. Maybe
cinch
staff.
It.
Yeah. Hello.
She doesn't cinch at all.
Wear a platform. I don't know.
Yeah. If she proportionized a teensy bit, it would have really, really helped that look.
Yeah. And what's so really funny is she posted, I had a great time on the show. Since then, I've elevated my drag and I've taken the feedback. Still waiting.
Wait, since the show, I've elevated my drag. That was a few months ago. I mean, it could still very much be true.
Here's the thing. Beautiful face. I'm a big fan of freckles, so like you can freckle me mucho, like it's good. But I'm like bigger wigs, higher heels, and cinch something, like anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Make anything bigger, like make your butt bigger, like anything, yeah, you know, like
do something.
Contour. Or what's it called? Eureka's phrase, like
proportionizing.
Yeah.
Proportionizing. Yeah. I'm still upset that that's a word now.
Yeah.
But it is true. It's all about proportions.
Or proportioning.
Proportioning. That's a word.
Yeah,
right?
The actual
English
word.
Is not my first language. Okay, good. Thank you.
No, but there was a word. They just made up their own because that's what happens on Drag Race.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. So here's the thing. Crystal won. Mm-hmm. And I agree. She looked fabulous on the runway.
She did.
And the challenge was crazy. But I don't think that it was worth giving her a second win.
No. Same. I think she was good.
She didn't need that. Nobody
should have been top or at least safe.
Yeah, but nobody needs two wins in the first two episodes.
Yeah, because
it wasn't earned.
It puts like a gun to your head where like now if she loses, it's like fall from grace.
Exactly. It's like they're setting her up.
Yeah. They're setting her up to fail. So like, I mean, prediction, maybe she won't even make it to the finale, you know, because we still haven't seen if she can act.
Yeah. Or sing.
Or do anything, you know,
anything other than being gorgeous.
You know what I mean? And it's like, there's way more to being a queen than just walking prettily down the runway.
True.
So like.
Well, wait, is there?
I know.
Hoax. Someone should have told me.
Hoax, I'm so sorry. You're such a beautiful queen.
You bring this to me now. Okay, good.
You have to be able to start.
There goes my dream.
You have to be able to start your own agency. You have to DJ. Oh. You have to throw parties. Okay. You got to promote. You got to be an entrepreneur. Yeah. Like all of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, I can do that. Okay, then I'm good.
Here's that. So at this point, thank God we only have one Drag Race to talk about because I'm literally at my wit's end. Who do you think will take the crown?
Well, damn, now that we got a knee injury on board.
Yeah.
And they hated Charity's coy look, which was stupid.
Yeah.
Not them hating it, not the look.
Yeah.
Charity's going home like next episode.
They just don't want to.
It's a mess.
They don't want her there.
Because Charity's not going to change what Charity does.
Anyone with big Instagram followers getting into Drag Race leaves first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think she's cool. I think she
it's like
would
a statement
probably
to have them on the show, but then.
Yeah. I think she would be more, I don't know, how do you say that in English? In Dutch, it's it doesn't matter. I think she would be perfect.
Say it in Dutch, though, please.
Yeah, tot haar recht komen, flourish or bloom more in a show like Dragula. That's very much all about her aesthetic and her kind of drag.
I thought this was a super miscast. I was like, she should be on.
I mean, I love her, but I don't think Drag Race will do her justice.
Right. I love seeing it because I want Drag Race to like continue to expand its definitions. Yeah. But it.
I don't think
is it
yet.
A cheap stunt could that be. They're like, yeah, let's throw her in and then
look at us, we're inclusive.
Yeah, look, we're not saying anything about her choice to be scary.
No,
yeah.
I legit felt like it was a diversity hire, and could then be. To like just throw out the window. Do you know what I mean? Like, that outfit's wearing you. I was like, that outfit was sickening. Like, orange is the most disgusting. The orange is the most disgusting color, and she just looked fabulous. And here's the thing, she did that thing that like actual British queens do where they don't shave their legs, and so she looked very like femme but also very masculine in the leg, and that subtle detail is like part of her humor, but I feel like she feels so rejected by the space that she couldn't walk confidently. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it could be.
Because the walk was so timid. And I was like, where is this negative energy coming from? And I'm sure it's coming from the confessionals. They're probably asking questions like, do you think you fit in? Do you think you're sticking out? Do you think you're doing well?
Yeah, it could be.
You know, she came in there with like 100,000 followers and she's getting like zero feedback. And so it's like when you're like super smart and you change schools and you're like at the bottom of the class. So you're like gagged and gooped. You're like, what do you mean? Mm. You know? Like,
she's what, like, why isn't this working?
She's like, my pussy's on fire. Why can't you smell it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously Victoria's going home because she has a bad knee. Charity Case may not last another episode. So right now I feel like it's Kitty Sock Claws. I feel like they're selling us Veronica Green. I don't know if I'm like feeling it. Crystal Versace. she may go far, but it could also be another Gigi Good. Do you know what I mean?
They are really just trying to throw us so many twists. They're trying to put twists in our head.
Yeah.
They're trying to set people up for positive or negative to make it hard to predict. That is what they're doing.
But also, so the next week is a sewing challenge, and apparently Elle of the Day doesn't know how to sew. So I'm like I'm really upset because I really liked Ella. And I don't know if she can sort of.
I get like
if you
Jan Rosé
music. If you're
coming
to Drag Race and you don't know how to sew, you are doing something wrong.
Exactly. If you have not tried to do that, you know you're going to fuck up on that challenge.
Yeah. I know. But like, take honestly,
she gives me like Jan and Rosé music theater vibes.
Yeah.
Elle of a Day seems like that, although much less irritating. In a good way, you know. But it seems like it's she wants to coast on that kind of like not coast, but like she wants to stay in that kind of track and that kind of style of drag. Yeah. And we'll see what happens because who knows? She's definitely more polished than I'd say Kitty Scott Claus comes across.
Yeah.
But Kitty Scott Claus has such a good personality.
That's good personality.
Hard to say. I think Kitty is going to go far.
I think Kitty's
but I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm. Oh God. This is the hardest time I've had picking like who I think to take the crown.
I think River Mayday is going to do fine because she has great personality. I think Kitty's going to do Medway. Fine.
I hated her looks. So.
Okay, look, everyone can say what they want to say, but like, you know, River Mayday is like trade Medway. And you know what happens. If you're cute, they push you along.
Yeah.
I love River Medway, but I think I see a lot of I think she'll go far, but I guess I'm going to say,
I know, but these baby queens, they have no depth. Like, it's like, what? Like,
yeah. What are I'm going to say has? Crystal Versace just because. Sure.
Yeah. I do really like what she's done so far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll see if she can sell.
Yeah.
Hoax.
Yes.
I just want to say this has been one of the most fabulous conversations. One of the most fabulous people. I don't know how to express how inspired I am by the sheer, by the sheer like gumption of just like being like, no, I need a agency so I can like lift up drag. And I'm so proud of you. I feel like, I'm so honored that like we even like booked you on the podcast. So thank you. But we do believe in fervent and impassioned and consensual stalking of our guests. So where can people find you, stalk you, lift you up in a consensual manner?
Well, thank you so much, first of all, for having me. It was my pleasure. I really enjoyed it thoroughly. If anyone listening would like to follow me, you can do that on either or all of my socials at Hoax LeBeau, HoaxLebeau. That's HoaxLebeau. At Instagram, Facebook, that's sort of the only ones I use. But yeah, I think there's a Twitter somewhere where I never post.
Oh my God, so we used to tweet.
There's also a TikTok account where I don't post. So there's that. But Instagram, find me on Instagram.
Amazing. Okay, so we used to tweet, but Nick just decided that that doesn't matter. And I honestly could care less about Twitter. So like we have a Twitter handle, but like it's not real.
So I made the right decision that it doesn't matter. It was expressing excellent foresight.
No, I mean you can start tweeting again, but like honestly, like I will never care about Twitter. So like the fact that you were tweeting like made me so happy because I was like, I hate this.
I've contemplated like live tweeting, except there is no concept of live tweeting when it's international seasons that are released on World of Wonder.
Different time zones.
So maybe, I mean, I guess I could do it when I'm watching it, as long as it's like that week when it's coming out. I guess that would be beneficial.
But it's so different when it's like live. You know, like live tweeting is like the best. You know,
Yeah.
So like that's the only good thing about that platform. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, people, you know where to follow us. It's fine. But thank you so much, Hoax. It's been a privilege and a pleasure.
Great to meet you.
I was ending with like some sort of like positive thought. And I think the thing for this week is that, I think we all need to remember to replenish ourselves. This week I like burnt out like legit, and I needed to like sleep. I needed to like do things for me. Mm. And when you do that, positive things happen. So
yeah, very true.
You know, replenish. Watch Drag
Race. Sleep is so important.
Listen to
us. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Listen to your body.
Exactly. But that being said, we'll see you next week, guys. And I love you for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World Wonder, VH1, IHOP, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. Both Drag Race and Canada Drag Race have all names, pictures, all music, or registered trademark and or copyrights to their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.